And we're going to read verse number 44, down through verse number 47. We'll read those. These are the challenges that Goliath made, and then the challenge that David made. And so in the book of 1 Samuel 17, verse number 44, here is Goliath's challenge. Goliath says this. After, in verse number 43, he had got through cursing David. In verse number 44, the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then in verse number 45, David issues his challenge. It's a different kind of challenge altogether, because Goliath was intent on doing the damage himself. That's who he was depending upon. I tell you what, if you ever want to get in trouble, you depend on yourself. If you ever want to fail at a project, you depend upon yourself. And you will fail. You need to trust the Lord whatever project you're working on. Verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine. David said this. "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee." I think here David is looking at the sword. He said, "I'll take your head off you, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That's a great thing. And then in verse number 47, this is our text for tonight. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear." And if we can ever get that in our head, I'm talking about us tonight, if we can ever get it in our head that the Lord does not save by material objects. He doesn't do it that way. God's weaponry is more than we can ever believe it is. It is bigger than we ever thought it was. God doesn't save by sword and spear. The Bible said then, "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So here, the challenge that Goliath presented was, "Come unto me." And the challenge that David presented was, "God will get you." So tonight we've passed out some of this outline. It's just called victory. And we must understand what real victory in the Lord really is. It is what God does. It is not what we do. It is what God Almighty does. We want to take the challenge for ourselves, and we want to have the praise of men for what we have done. Listen, you can have the praise of men. You can have it. But God gets eternal glory. God gets eternal praise. And David here, he has, this is the thing about it, is that David, in this battle with Goliath, he has the victory. He has the praise of men. It is not very long until men will begin to praise David for all of the good things that he's done. And they will say things like, "Saul has slain his 10 or 20, whatever it was, but David has slain his 10,000. I mean, that's what's going to be said. But David didn't go out to seek that acclaim of men. David went out to do God's will. And if we just want to do God's will, it will show up in our lives It'll be a part of us. It'll be a distinct part of us. And we will be able to give God the glory and the honor for it all. Notice what we said here. And I printed this out because of the four reasons we give here. I didn't have them listed out as point 1, 2, 3, 4. But it's under you see the word remember? And then there's four scriptures there. It's because we ought to always remember the victory that God has given. It is real. I mean, tell you what, it is a real victory. It is not a fake. It is not a put-on. It is not a personality trait at all. But it is a real thing that God gives. He gives eternal victories. He wants us as His children to trust in Him and Him alone, and God will always, He will always supply for us. And when He does supply for us, we'll know exactly where it came from. There might be a few challenges that you face. David had challenges before Goliath. He had a lion and a bear that attacked, as his brother said, a few sheep. But God gave David the victory over these adversaries. David was able to kill the lion and the bear, even taking away the lamb from the lion or from the bear, whichever one it was. And that's a feat in itself. But David didn't stop there, and he killed the animal. We can do the same thing. Or we can be like the Philistines. We can, listen, you and I can be exactly like the Philistines who heard Goliath's challenge for 40 days and did nothing. We can be like that. But we need to step out by faith. And that's how we have the victory. When we step out by faith and believe the promises of God and realize that our past is the things that happened to us in the past, that should not discourage us. The things that happened to us in our past ought to encourage us to see how that God can take care of these little things that are before us. And listen, I'll never face a lion. I don't want to. I've never faced a bear. I don't want to. If you see a lion come in that back door, I say, eat the one on the back first. I'm going out this door. We'd all run. That's where we are. We're afraid of those things. I'm not saying that David didn't have fear. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that David had faith in God and he believed God so much that he began to run toward the Philistine. He began to run. The Bible said that he ran. Notice, we'll go through these four points real briefly again tonight. Just a real brief. We have touched on these before. We won't do it again tonight. These four began with Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus 14. Now read again what the Bible said here. We need to take the promises of God and do what God says regardless of what we think about it. Exodus chapter number 14. Notice here. In verse number 10. Pharaoh drew nigh. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They had all kinds of excuses and reasons in their background. They were sore afraid when they saw the Egyptians. They were boxed in. They had the Egyptians behind them. They had the Red Sea in front of them, and on the side was mountains, and they couldn't go anywhere at all. Sometimes God boxes us in. And so there's nothing to do except look to Him. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Where that you were just boxed in and you had to look to the Lord. Sometimes God does that to us. God does not mean to discourage us, but God knows us and how that we need to trust God. If we're ever going to have any victories in our life, we've got to learn to trust God through the hard times. Sometimes hard things come. They happen to everybody. But you can have the victory over those hard times. Notice here, in verse number 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Stop complaining, he says. Sometimes it's easier to complain than it is to have faith. It is. I'm talking about the way we live. It's easier to have be complaining than have faith. We need to have faith. In verse number 16, he says, "But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." But I would tell you this, that Israel had the victory, but they had to do what God said. In verse number 15, God told them, "The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." You start walking. You march into the Red Sea. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. What God wants us to do is to learn to trust Him. If we're ever going to have any victories in this life, we must learn to trust God. Whatever happens, believe God, trust God, do what God wants you to do, you'll always have the victory. But if you begin to think within yourself, and here's what happens. We begin to think within ourselves, and the devil, he gives us doubts, and we doubt. Doubting is not something God wants us to do. God wants us to trust Him. God wants us to live by faith. You know what living by faith is? Living by faith is when you don't see the end of it. but you're doing every day what you know you need to do. You're just doing it. Repeatedly, over and over again, you're just doing what God wants you to do. Do it. Every day. Just do it. Be faithful to God. And God will give you the victory. Notice, also in the book of Judges, chapter 7. Judges, chapter 7 is another time of victory. Book of Judges, chapter number 7. Gideon goes to battle against the Midianites with 32,000 warriors. What is God's first command? In Judges 7 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying," Israel, I want you to tell the people, "if you are afraid, you can go home." Gideon told this to 32,000 soldiers. If you are afraid, go home. How many of them went home? 22,000 went home, leaving him with 10,000. Wow, that's a pretty good sum. If you were Gideon, what would go through your mind if 2/3 of your army went home because they were afraid? What would you think? If you were the leader and 2/3 of them walked away. God, I think you're making a mistake here. No, listen. I don't think that Gideon thought that at all. You know why? Because in Judges chapter 6, verse 36 to verse number 40, Gideon had already put out his fleece. Not once, but twice. And God gave Gideon confidence that whatever God was doing was going to be right. And so when 22,000 of these soldiers went home, I don't think it bothered Gideon. I really don't. But then God said, 10,000, that's too many. Let's go get a drink of water. And there was only 300 men that stayed because they drank water the right way. But listen, what God wanted Gideon to do was to believe in him, and then God will give him the victory. God will do that. He will do that. Number 3 is in 1 Samuel 14. 1 Samuel 14. This is speaking of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Jonathan, in the book of 1 Samuel 14, verse number 6. And understand that Jonathan is a man of faith. He is a man who believes and trusts God. He is not trusting numbers. Sometimes we trust numbers. We don't need to trust numbers. Numbers will fail you, but God never will. Don't trust what you can see. Trust God and God alone. God is one that is able to give the victory. In verse number 6 of 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Saul did not know where Jonathan was. Nobody else knew where Jonathan was. But God, he knew where Jonathan was. He could see the faith that Jonathan had. And God used that in a great and a marvelous way to give him the great victory. The Bible says in verse number 14 that there was about 20 men that they killed in a half acre of land. I tell you what, God is well able to give you the victory. It doesn't make any difference whether there's many of you or a few of you. It doesn't make any difference who you are. We have read in the book of Exodus about Moses. We've read in the book of Judges about Gideon. We've read in the book of 1 Samuel about Jonathan. But let's read another one. In the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. God is well able to bless whether there's many of us or a few of us. It doesn't make any difference to God. It doesn't. Whether there is a building full and running over, or whether they're just two or three, God is the one that is very able to give the victory. God can do it. We can't. But God can. Look here. The Bible says that those armies, those coming against the nation of Judah, in verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible said, those children of Moab, the children of Ammon, beside the children of the Ammonites, that came against Jehoshaphat to battle. I mean, and even though we might have fear, don't think that it's ever wrong to be afraid of the enemy. Don't think that it's wrong. Because I tell you, literally and truthfully, sometimes we are afraid of the enemy. And sometimes it's very good to be afraid of the enemy. We're people, right? Hey, sometimes we don't have the answers. All I know is that God does. And God is well able to bless if we trust in God, even though we're afraid. When I was growing up, somehow I got the idea that if you had courage, you weren't afraid. That's not so at all. Because courage is when you do what you need to do, period. But that doesn't mean you don't have fear. It doesn't mean that at all. There's lots of times that I've gone into a hospital room and I've had fear when I go in there because I don't know those people. I don't know what they're going to do or what they're going to say. I don't know at all. But all I want to do is to be a witness to them. I've knocked on people's doors. I was actually so afraid I couldn't hardly talk. I've done that. But God can bless even when we're afraid. And look at this. In verse number 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. It's not wrong to be afraid. Jehoshaphat feared, but God gave the nation of Judah a great victory. How in the world did God do that? I hope you read these four because this, or for a reason, I've got these written down. In verse number 22, and we read this to you Sunday evening, I think. But the Bible says here, and when they began to sing and pray. So what it is that God had told the people, I don't want you fighting them. I don't want you fighting them. I'll do the fighting. God said, I'll do the fighting. I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. Now, if God... Now, listen. In the book of 1 Samuel, God told David to fight Goliath, right? And so sometimes God tells us there's somebody you've got to fight. Sometimes God says, I'll do the fighting. We need to listen to God and do exactly what God said to do. Always obedient unto Him and Him alone. And so, the Bible says in verse number 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. In verse number 22, here's the key. They did what God told them. This is the whole thing. Is that whatever your task is, whatever it is, if you will do what God told you to do, even though you were afraid, even though you say, I'm afraid I'll do the wrong thing. And you know how my mouth is? Is your mouth like mine? That whenever it opens up, you hope it says the right thing? Sometimes I go over and over my mind, and then when I say it, it's wrong. Great mind is. But if we have faith in God, he can give us deliverance. He can supply for us. He can help us to answer all of our inquiries. The Bible says in verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, when they began to do this, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And that's the whole thing. That's where the victory is. It's when we obey the Lord only and do what God wants us to do. Now let's go back to the book of 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 17. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 47. Verse number 47. That passage I've got written down there is wrong. My computer made a mistake. It typed the wrong number. It should not be 1 Samuel 17, 17. It should be 1 Samuel 17, verse number 47. That's what it should say. The Bible says, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Whenever you face a difficult situation, whatever it is, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. This is the whole battle. But you see, there is a physical battle to be fought. But before that battle is ever fought, there's a spiritual battle that goes on. This is what the story is all about. This is where it happens. In verse number 48, and it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, so he was preparing himself for the battle here, and came and drew nigh to meet David. Look what David did. He didn't begin to cower behind somebody else. Like the giant, he was behind his armor bearer. But not David. David, the Bible says that he hastened and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So David was running to meet the giant who was in the army of the Philistines. And look at this. This is a remarkable thing, I think. In verse number 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. Now, if I got the story right here, all I'm doing is reading what it says. But if what I'm understanding here, David has a sling, not a bean shooter, we call that a bean shooter. I think it's a slingshot that goes around his head. Now David has that, and that's all he's got. He's also chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. But as David begins to run, as David is running, he is looking, I think, toward the target and not toward his bag. I think he's feeling with his hand as he's running, holding that slingshot. He gets a stone, loads it, and all the time he's running, well, this shows his skill. And this shows not only his skill, but also shows us the power of God. That as David is running, I don't see anywhere that he stopped and took aim. I don't see that. David is running all the time. He has a slingshot loaded. He's throwing it over his head and lets it go. I think by his own skill, but by God's providence, this stone lies in the forehead of the giant. And it's amazing to me that the stone, when it lodged in his forehead, it lodged. Can you believe it? It lodged in there. It didn't bounce off, but it lodged in his forehead. I mean, it stayed there. You would think hit him with that kind of force, they would knock him backwards. But it didn't. It knocked him. It fell face down. Is what I understand there. If I just read that, he fell face down. The Bible says he fell upon his face to the earth when the stone sunk into his forehead. David, at this point, remember that the army of the Philistines was there. David was running toward the army. The giant was there. But between David and Goliath, there was the armor bearer. Don't you think it'd be a good thing to take out the armor bearer first? No. David went right to the giants and he killed him first. I mean, that's what he had on his mind, to kill the giant, to stop this. Boy, that's a great thing. I think that we all ought to have on our mind, to stop any kind of evil, any kind of wickedness, any kind of sin. The Bible said in verse number 50, that because of God's power, it's because of God's power, it's not because of David's power. David, in his proclamation to Goliath, said repeatedly that it's going to be God's power that kills you, it's not going to be mine. He said that over and over again. And so it was because of God's power that David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. The Bible is very clear that David did not have a sword, but David already told him, I'm going to cut off your head. That's in verse number 46. So I'm going to cut off your head. I think before the battle ever started, that David was looking with victory, and the victory was going to be carried to the battlefield by Goliath. Reckon? Amen. Boy, that's the truth. And David went up there, the Bible said, in verse number 51, therefore David ran. Whenever David killed the giant, he didn't stop. He did not stop. When David slung that stone, and the stone went into the giant's forehead, and the giant fell forward upon the ground, David didn't stop running. He continued running until he got to the giant, and he took his sword out. He took the giant's sword, because David didn't have a sword with him. He took the giant's sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof. See how detailed that is? That ought to be real clear. And slew him and cut off his head therewith. So David took the sword and killed the giant. If I'm reading this right, the stone was in his head. Then David came and killed the giant with his own sword, and then cut off his head with his own sword. That's the actual victory. There was a promised victory that David had already given. But now there's actual victory. Look at this. In verse number 52. When the men of Judah saw that Goliath was dead, they shouted. This shows us the condition of the people of Judah. For 40 days, challenge out to the people openly before everybody. 40 days he had done that. And the people of Judah had slunk away. But now that he's dead, now that Goliath is dead, now they believe. Sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we do exactly the same thing. Sometimes, you know, we need faith in God. We need to believe God. Even though things are not going right, we need to trust God. I can't emphasize that enough. Believe God and trust God and do what God wants you to do. The people of Judah, when they finally understood, and this is an answer to one of the statements that David made in verse 47. When David said, and all this assembly. I think there David is talking specifically about the people of Judah. That they need to come to the place of understanding that God is able to give them the victory. May God help us, each one, that our eyes will be open, that we might be able to see and understand that God is able to give us the victory. He can. God can do it. The Bible said in verse number 52, the men of Israel and of Judah. And so the Bible here is talking about both nations, the Israelites and the Judahites. And they shouted and pursued the Philistine that come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, which is about 20 miles north, I think. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shedram, and that's 5 or 6 miles west of the valley of where they were, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. And then the children of Israel returned and they spoiled the tents that was left. All David had to do was to kill the giant. That's all he had to do. And God would give the victory. And then, after that, the people of Israel and people of Judah, they would come and be gathered there and they would do the rest of it. Reminds me of the scripture that says that God calls for man. God wants somebody. God needs somebody. Would you be the one that God uses? Would you be the one to make a difference? Would you be the one has faith in God and trust God and just does what God wants you to do? Would you be the one? Listen, David did not want people to have faith in him. David wanted people to have faith in God. And that's where the victory is. When individuals have the victory in God, there's many failings today on all of our part. But our victory is when we trust the Lord. He saved my soul. He's the one that led me to understand many of the passages that I questioned at one time. God's the one that helped me do all that. At least in my mind, they're settled. But you must step out by faith yourself and do what God wants you to do. That's what it takes. Step out by faith. You don't know the end. You don't know how it's going to turn out. I tell you what, if you don't step out by faith, you know how it's going to turn out. You know, right? So you might as well step out by faith. Might as well. You got nothing to lose at all. The Bible said in verse 54, David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem as a trophy. He put his armor in his tent. What armor? What armor? He put his armor in his tent. I think he's talking there about Goliath's armor. That's what I'm thinking about. David, the only armor he had was not physical, but it was spiritual, and God blessed. David took the head and went around with it, but the armor he kept. He would use some of that later. Do you have any symbols in your house of the victories that God has given you in days gone by? You know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about that jar of wheat. Isn't it wheat? Yeah, that Mary Norville had. That's what I'm thinking about. And they remember that. Don't forget that. Don't forget the victories that God gives you. Don't forget that at all. God is well able to supply everything for you. Verse 55, when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. They had no idea. They had no idea about David's history, about who he was, or anything else. I tell you what, times were very desperate. In verse number 56, the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. See, that was a trophy. What do you got there, David? I got a head. It's a trophy. I don't know how large David was, but I got a notion he was not the biggest character in the world. But the head of Goliath he carried with him. And Saul said unto him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. It comes down to this. Do you want the real, true victories that God is able to give? Do you want that? If you want it, the only way you can get that is to step out by faith when you don't know how it's going to turn out. And you don't know the end of it. And you step out by faith, believing God, trusting God, and doing every day what God wants you to do. That's how you can have the victory. I pray today that you would accept this and know that God is well able to give you the victory. He can. It's all in His hands. And He can provide for you that thing. If you're here today and you're lost, we pray for you that the Lord would bless your soul with salvation. We pray for you. Earnestly, we go to the Lord in prayer for you. We trust that the Lord will just give you what you need, answer your questions, answer your inquiries. We pray that the Lord would just help you to be what He wants you to be.